stand by. We're about to begin. Good day, everyone, and welcome to the National All Vocational Rehabilitation. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Regina Bowden. Please go ahead, ma'am.
Thank you very much. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to our All VR call for the second quarterly call. I'm just going to start off with acknowledging that we all got very good news today with all of the children and their coach rescued in Thailand. So that was very good news for anyone who hadn't heard that. So we were very happy. We have a very good call scheduled for today with a lot of good information to share with you. And before I take up any more of your time, I'm going to turn it over. But remember at the end of the call that we'll have a question and answer session. And then, of course, if we are not able to address your questions or we have to take it offline, we always have our help desk, and we'll be sure to answer those questions. So without further ado, I will turn it over to Candace Whaley.
Hi, good afternoon. I'm just going to do a brief refresher on supplemental claims. A supplemental claim should be for additional direct cost or post-employment only. It's the cost that was omitted from the original claim that was paid. And the cost requested must be within the allotted payment period also to be paid. In addition, in the past, there was no time frame for submitting supplemental claims, but due to our audit, we have had to make some changes to our policy. Effective September 2017, the time frame for submitting a supplemental claim is 1 year from the date the original claim was paid. If you need further clarification on supplemental claims, please refer to page 19 of your VR provider handbook. And also, if you have any questions, you can contact me directly. I'm going to now turn this over to Shada Roper to discuss reconsideration.
Good afternoon, everyone, and happy second quarter call of the year. Or third, I'm sorry. We've been going through this reconsideration information for a while, so we apologize if it sounds so redundant, but we want to address your claims, we want to address them correctly, and we want to make sure that you receive any payments that you're due. When you're sending in a reconsideration from the old system, our old manual system, you must put it in as an initial claim. Once you put that information in as an initial claim, you have to write remarks. The remarks must state your original filing date so that we know that it's a reconsideration, why you want reconsideration, and then any other important information that you believe that we must have. If we do not have that original filing date, the system will take the date that you created that claim, and it will use that as your file date. So once we see that there's a date in your remarks and it's a different date from the date that is on file for you creating that claim, we will use your original date of filing to make sure that it is a reconsideration claim. We've gone over the 900 versus 950 claims and notices before. And I think there's a little bit of confusion. So a 900 claim, just as you had an initial claim and then we paid that claim, having to do with SGA. A 950 claim, however, there's a reduction to your payment amount having to do with savings to the trust fund. The notice itself is different from the 900 notice because it explains to you that there has been a reduction to your payment amount, and that it has to do with savings to the trust fund, whereas the 900 notice says you are allowed your payment, and it has everything to do with just SGA. So we just want to clear that up. We mentioned this a few months ago, but if you're having problems with your claims that are 950, having the incorrect language where you see that the dollar amount has been reduced due to savings to the trust fund, please send either the help desk an email about your notice, or you send the email directly to me, and we will correct your notice to give you the correct information for your files. And that is it at this time. I'd like to pass it over to Raquel Donaldson.
Good afternoon, everyone. Happy third quarter call. Just some quick reminders. I've received a few emails in the help desk regarding the 2018 Red Book. That's not something that we're able to give you, but I've asked Shada. She's going to actually post the email address that you can send a request to order the 2018 Red Book, or you can actually request it by fax. And Shada will post all those numbers, and there's a phone number as well that you can call to request the 2018 Red Book. So when Shada has an opportunity, she'll put that up for you. And if you miss it now, then you can always reach out to me on the VR help desk, and I'll be glad to give you that information again. Just for the notices of determination, I just wanted to send a reminder. I get a lot of requests in regards to things that actually should be reviewed on the notice of determination with the SGA, the net payment period, the gross payment period. So those are things that I'm just requesting that everyone take a look at before they send their questions in to the VR help desk in regards to why didn't I get paid the full amount for direct cost, or why was this a little short from what I requested. If you're looking at your notice of determination, that pretty much will walk you through the amount that you requested and the amount that was actually allowed. The 620 untimely filing denials, the issue with those, I think Shada just hit on that in regards to reconsideration. I'm just asking or just reminding you all to be sure to put in your remarks that you're doing an actual reconsideration, that this is not the initial claim. I will say that I've noticed a couple of technicians that were missing that. We're basically either missing the remarks, or it's the error on our part when you're receiving a 620 on a reconsideration. You should never receive a 620 on a reconsideration unless the initial claim should have been denied 620 the first time. So I do definitely appreciate when you guys send me the emails just asking me to review that information, and don't stop that. The last thing I have is in regards to the portal password. When you're having an issue getting into the portal with your password, I just want you all to know that that is not something that we can help you with. I know a lot of times people are sending emails to the VR Help Desk or directly to Ms. Linda Custis, and the only thing that we can do is provide you with the 1-800 number for Social Security to call to get that information corrected. And, again, that'll be a number that Shada will post for you today. It's 1-800-772-1213. That's all I have for today. So I'm going to turn it over to the woman of the hour, Katie.
Hi, everyone. This is Katie Stravinger. I do want to add a little bit about the reconsiderations. We're talking about when you enter a claim through the portal for reconsideration and the grant for the comment. What it is back in March of last year, we converted systems. All of the payments that you received prior to March of 2017 were in the old system. If you're asking for a reconsideration for a payment prior to March of 2017, then you have to mark it as an initial claim in the portal and put the remark, because the cases did not come over in a way that we can use them. It's not going to populate in our system in order to make a reconsideration. Now, if you're doing a claim that was 2 months ago, that should not be a problem, and you can enter it normally through the portal. So you just have to know the time frame. If it's an older case, you have to make it an initial claim and use their comments. And this kind of loops into what I'm about to start with. We are at a place where we did not have funding to make any changes to our new system or the portal, which is why something like a case that got converted is not as, it can't be used the way we want it to. Systems made decisions about our program and the programming that we are trying to adjust to, and some things like being able to make a reconsideration on a case from 2016 is something that requires so much work and effort that is just not going to happen. So while it is an inconvenience, we are asking you to work with us because this is a new world that we're in. You know, there are things that we would want to work a certain way, but at this point we cannot make any changes. We don't have any funding to make the changes that we would like to make. We do appreciate, you know, all the comments you give us, all the suggestions for wish list items or things that you wish could change or be changed. At some point when we do get funding, that's the first thing we're going to attack, is making things better for everybody in both systems, the portal that you use and the system that we use. But right now we're kind of at a standstill. We're working to fix a handful of production problems, but once those are fixed, we do not anticipate any changes to the way the system currently works. And I want to make sure this is clear. For the foreseeable future, the things I'm about to list are not going to change or be changed. We will not be able to combine all of your notices into one mailing. We will not be able to put all of your payments into one check. We will not be able to change the way the portal allows you to search or submit claims. We will not be able to change the requirement that the SSN first name and last name must match. We will not be able to change the way claims are uploaded. You have two choices. You can either upload an XML file or use the screen to build an XML file that comes across from the portal into our system. The entire system is designed and built based on an XML file. So you're either supplying one to us through the upload, or you're using the screen to build us an XML file. Now, because of that, that is why we tell you, especially in the portal user guide, that when you're using the screen to submit a claim, that there is no option to save. You cannot save because the screen is building an XML file. There's no way to save a portion of the XML file the way it's designed. This is one of the major things we wish we could fix, but once again, we will not be able to change this anytime in the near future. So what do you do about problems you're encountering? Well, first of all, if you get an error when you perform an action, please continue to report these errors to the VR Help Desk. We'll either give you a workaround or we'll work with our systems team to fix the problem. We rely on you to report problems to us. We do not know that something isn't working the way we see it in our system for you unless you let us know. So I appreciate every time someone reports a problem because we find something else we can enhance or fix. And these are the two most common problems that come up. Both have to do with submitting claims. The first is the XML file upload, where you're uploading a file that's in an XML format with all of your claims. It is the fastest way to get claims into us. You can submit 500 claims in an instant, and they all go right to a person's TWWork. We recommend you use this method if you have the ability to. There is a problem with this method, though. The file is, there are transactions that are not posting properly and are not creating work cases in our system. Your file will appear to be successful, but inside the file, you'll find transactions or claims that didn't work. You'll see that of the 10 claims you submitted, one did not go through. You'll see claim validated is no. No errors found, but they were encountered saving the VR claim. You can identify transactions that did not work because there's a value of N in column G called claim acceptance code. So if the claim acceptance code is an N, you know that that did not work and you need to resubmit it. So, knowing that, please make sure you check your file. Don't just check that it uploaded and that it was successful. Go in and open your file and make sure that all the transactions work. That's what's going to happen when you think you submitted something to us and it did not even come across. We're going to have no record of that claim because it did not come through. The reason you do not see an error in the file is because your XML file was uploaded, but the system isn't tracking the status of each transaction. It's just tracking, did it successfully accept the file? You'll get an error if the file didn't upload, but you're not going to get an error if a piece of the file didn't work correctly. So make sure you go through and check those. We are getting that comment a lot. Once again, we wish we could fix this. We're working on ways that we can come around with this, but the easiest solution is that you go in and check it and resubmit anything. Once again, all you need to do is cut and paste that portion that didn't work into a new XML and resubmit it. Another common problem is problems submitting the claim to the screen. So the screen is using your input as you go from screen to screen to build an XML file. For this reason, there's no save function, as I mentioned. Since there is no save function, you do not have to, and we advise you not to, sit and enter all of your direct costs one by one on the screen. We sent out something about this a while ago, so this is a reminder. We want you to enter one direct cost that has the total dollar amount of your entire claim. That's it. One entry. It will keep you from timing out and losing all of your work. It will also save you time. As long as you fax in the documentation right afterwards showing all the direct costs of your claim, you will be submitting everything you need. So, to review, for the XML file that you upload, you need to check, open each file, and make sure that it worked properly. You need to make sure that each claim went through. Look for that N in column G. And then if you're doing it through the screen, do not sit and enter, please do not sit and enter all the direct costs. If your total direct costs that you're claiming are $10,000, enter one single cost for $10,000. You must fax afterwards the itemized claim with all the amounts broken out. We must have that for our record. And the last question I get all the time is, what is the status of Huber? Huber will never exist as it used to, given the current funding constraints that I've just walked through. We are working to provide you with a quarterly file that will show you earnings for specific beneficiaries. Since this will be a file that is emailed from us, someone here at SSA, to a PUC at your agency, instead of the past format of something downloaded from the portal, there are going to be several constraints. We have to follow security protocol, make sure we're protecting PII, and there are going to be file size limitations. We plan to have more information in the next quarterly All-VR call on where we are with coming up with the process. Once again, we do want to provide you with something that you can use, but at this point, we have no way to reinstate it in the old way of having something from the portal due to our funding constraints. So we're planning to work with you to give you something that you can use. And that is all I have. Does anybody have any more? Go directly to Q&A.
Okay.
And I did want to add that we, after every VR call, the notes are posted on the Ticket to Work website. If you need to know where that's located, we can add it to the chat. But we always do send up a write-up of everything, especially when I give out information. We make sure it is in the notes so that you can look at it.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question today, you may do so by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using your speakerphone, please release your mute function to allow your signal to reach our equipment.
Rebecca?
Yes, ma'am?
We have one more speaker before we ask questions.
Oh,
pardon me.
Please proceed.
Hi, this is Linda Custer. I just want to say we've had another request for the two-day VR ticket to work and VR training. And so it's too short of a notice for July. However, we're looking at a possibility of maybe August or September. If you have anyone in your agency or yourself, if you're interested, please email GloriaBlow or myself, Linda Custis, and let us know at least by the 16th of July, this month. And the reason we're requesting email is because we're not here in the building every day, and sometimes it's difficult getting the calls, or we don't get your calls as soon as you think we're receiving your calls. So please let us know. Thanks.
Thank you, Linda. Okay, Rebecca, I think we should go ahead and open up the lines for questions now.
Super. And once again, everyone, that is *1 to ask a question live over the telephone. If you're using your speakerphone, please release your mute function to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Once again, that is *1. And your first question will come from Eugenia Cox at the State of Oregon.
Hi. I joined the call at 12:02, and I didn't hear anything about supplemental claims. Can you please repeat what was said about supplemental claims?
Eugenia, I'll just do a little brief refresher for you. Supplemental claims basically are for costs that were omitted from the original claim, which I know you're familiar with this. There's basically been a change in the time frame is what basically I had to go through today. The time frame for submitting a supplemental claim is 1 year from the time the original claim was paid. This was changed due to our audit, and it was in the updated version of the VR Provider Handbook, September 2017. If you need any further clarification on that. It is on page 19 in the VR provider handbook for you.
Okay. And on reconsiderations, I always note the date that the original claim was sent in, and I always note if it was given a Social Security reference number. I put that on there. But they've been denied for timely filing still, even though it was way within the amount of time. And I know you covered that at some point, but we have to watch that really closely because it's happening a lot. It's almost like they just didn't even look at our comments. Hello?
We're here, Eugenia. Was there a question?
Yeah, I just want to know, is there something else we need to do besides put it in the comments? Because we're having to look at each denial with a fine-tooth comb and resubmitting many of them because they've been denied incorrectly. And I didn't know if this was something going on. Is there new staff? I didn't know what was going on and why there are so many denials that shouldn't be happening. That is a concern.
So you're doing what you need to do, and as long as you're looking at them and sending us your information to the help desk, it's getting taken care of.
Okay. Notices of determination. we're getting all, when we get them, we're getting them all in a bunch, and some of them we aren't getting at all. And the ones that I have concern with is notices when you're requiring a justification or a PVR. I see on the portal that it says, yes, there's a diary that's required, but I'm not getting anything in the mail. And sometimes if I do get something in the mail, it's like 2 weeks since it was sent. And there's only a 30-day time to be able to complete these things. So, you know, us being on the West Coast, we're not seeing those things right away, and it might take us 2 weeks before we even see it, if we even see them. Are you taking that into consideration for the 30 days or 60 days you're requiring us to return those?
Yes, there's a 45-day when we first send it to diary. The technician gives you 45 days, and then once it comes back up, there's an additional 30 days.
Okay, and you mean once we notify you that we haven't received anything?
Correct.
So if we just have to keep an eye on whether it says yes or no, and if we haven't received anything within a few weeks, I guess, then we notify you that nothing, and then they add an additional 30 days. Is that what you're saying?
That's correct, and it's not even the technician that adds the time. It's me because I see the request in the VR help desk.
Okay, and as far as the portal, I did put in there, Katie went a little fast, and so I didn't catch a lot of what was said. But my question is the problem of us putting tickets in use with us when we send over our batches of individuals is still happening, where they're being put in use with us when they shouldn't be. Is that something that's going to be corrected, or is that something that doesn't fall within that enough money to fix?
Eugenia, you're correct. That's a major redesign to the entire system, and we do not have the funding to fix that right now. So we're just trying to fix the cases as we discover them.
Okay, but what happens is that ticket is put in use with us, and we're tracking that individual, and we're submitting claims. So our time is being wasted as far as developing a claim just to turn around and have that claim denied, and just to find out that it shouldn't have even been one that we had been tracking. So even though it looks like a minor thing, in your eyes, it's seen as a big waste of our time to be able to track all those individuals that are being put in use with us, and they shouldn't be.
No, Eugenia, we also see it as a serious problem. Beneficiaries are getting CDR protection that shouldn't have it. So we do realize the seriousness of the problem, but we only have the funding that we have, and we're trying to work with the best we can. If there are particular cases you're not sure about, you could try to send them. We could. But I don't know that we could handle the workload of checking those cases every month for everybody.
No, we don't know. We don't find out that it shouldn't have been until we send in a claim and it gets denied because they didn't have benefits.
Right, and we don't find out until a case comes to our attention. So we're trying to make the best of a bad situation.
Okay, and then my last question is, we just got the notice that Social Security changed the beneficiary eligibility requirements for Ticket to Work. and the date is now on, I mean, the age is now on a sliding scale. How is that going to be handled with our cost reimbursements?
Hi, this is Regina, but it would be the same as it is now, except we just changed the age. I don't understand your question, I guess.
Well, the portal is going to be saying that they're no longer ticket eligible.
Well,
but
you're
saying they could still be ticket eligible and we could still get reimbursed on these because they
We think that would be a small universe, but, you know, if that happens, then we'll address it as it happens. As Katie just said, you know, when we have changes, you know, all changes for the systems, the portal, it takes the resources. So we have to prioritize. And, again, we don't anticipate that the universe, as a result of this change, will be that great. So, you know, we don't.
Yeah, but you got to realize that the state VR agencies don't limit their services to folks that are between 18 and 64 or 65. We serve people that are, you know, a lot older than that. I think our currently have one that's 88 years old. So in those cases, you might think it's a small universe because employment networks don't work with anybody older, but the state VR agencies do. And so we put the cutoff as 65 for presumptive eligibility. So this is going to affect not only the ticket or the cost reimbursements, it's also going to be affecting the fact of we're presuming these individuals eligible where they wouldn't be before you changed it.
Okay. All I can tell you, Eugene, is that we'll address that as, you know, if we have to, on a case-by-case basis, yes, as we need to. So, again, when we make the changes and we have the resources to make the changes in the portal and, you know, the changes in the systems, we'll do that. But, again, we have to prioritize. So we'll address it on a case-by-case basis. And if it's
okay, so... So until then, it's going to not show them as ticket eligible, even though they might be in the portal.
I guess so.
Okay. Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Next, we'll hear from David Leon.
Hey, guys. Thank you. It went a little quick today, but my question, part of it was answered because Eugenie asked similar ones related to the announcement the other day. And the only thing I didn't hear that I'm just curious about, with the change in ticket eligibility, will that change the savings to the trust formulas? And I know in the past, you know, as I'm trying to understand that, it's hard to tell, but there are cases where maybe someone is close to retirement age or has hit 65, and so we didn't get a cost reimbursement. I'm assuming this isn't going to be, A, retroactive, but also, will there be a change to that savings to the trust formula?
David, there's not going to be a change for the savings to the trust fund formula for that. Basically, it's maxed out at age 64, so there won't be any changes to that. Right now, if your last month of SGA is after the age of 65, you are denied that claim, and that's because there is no savings generated to the trust fund, and that's what this program is about. So we can't make any changes for those claims.
So that's okay. I don't understand that if they're still ticket eligible and otherwise they'd be able to receive ticket payments. Maybe it just means it makes more sense to, as we get cases for people who are in that age range, to take them as an EN. But thank you.
Thanks, David.
Once again, everyone, that is star one to ask a question. Next, we'll hear from Jay Morrow.
Hello. Katie, I had one quick question on that error message that you sometimes get with the XML upload, where it doesn't seem to have a problem with the XML file if the case doesn't get saved. Is there anything that we can do on our end to help prevent that? Do you know what is causing that error? And if so, you know, I'd like to be able to fix the XML file that's getting uploaded before it even gets there to try to avoid that issue.
Hi, Jay. There's nothing wrong with your file or anyone's file. They have actually had problems trying to recreate this to figure out what's causing the problem. It just seems like the system has an error and just will not create the transaction. So there's something you can do on your part, and we're working to fix it.
Okay. So just uploading it again is the solution that we're going with right now?
Yeah, whenever a transaction fails, just resubmit it, because even though it gives you a work case number, it's not a real number. So just resubmit it.
Yeah, that's what I've been telling everybody. I just wasn't sure if there was some other issue, like something you discovered that, you know, like if you had too many files in the XML, or too many records in the XML file, or something like that, that we could maybe change to try to avoid it. But it doesn't sound like that there is.
No, if I ever find out something that would, you know, information that I could provide to everybody on a, I would send a blast if I, you know, it was something that you could do. But at this point, there's nothing anyone can do.
Okay. Right. And then I wasn't quite clear on the change in the age, if that was going to affect the claims that should be submitted. I think that you said that you're still using 65 as the age for the last month of SGA. Is that correct? Or will you start using 67 as the last month of SGA, you know, and then not send it if it was after that?
That's correct. It's age 65. You are
all right,
paid
so that's
up.
Just going to remain the same?
That will remain the same, correct.
And then for in-use submissions, should you still submit those for in-use up to age 67, or do we still stop at 65 on those?
It's not going to work with the file, so there's no sense of even trying to submit those claims.
Okay, so right now the portal just won't handle those, so don't even bother sending them in once they're past 65?
That is correct.
Okay. Thank you. That's all I had.
You're welcome.
Donna Osborne?
Hi. I'm sorry. My phone was cutting in and out when you were talking about inputting into the screen. You said to use just one direct cost. Does it matter what code you give that, or just give it any code and then put the fax in the list?
So your question is, so I'm telling you to put in one direct cost and you're asking what code we should use?
Yeah, does it matter? Yeah.
It does not matter. Hi, Donna. This is Raquel. It doesn't matter.
Hi, Raquel. Okay.
Because,
all right. I missed that change, so I've been inputting all my costs. So that's a relief.
Yes, we're trying to save you time and us time. So please
okay.
Fix immediately.
Great.
Thanks, Donna.
Thank you.
And next, we'll hear from Carl Weiss.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes, Carly,
your
line is open.
Okay, sorry. Can you still hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, I just wanted to follow up. I think this came up at CSAVR, but I just wanted to see if there was any more information you had that you could offer. We're getting more and more claims where we're getting substantial amounts denied because of savings to the fund, the trust fund. And, for example, we recently had a $275,000 claim and only $3,000 was approved. And it's happening more and more, and I have no way to find out, you know, whether it was done accurately or what the formula is or anything like that. So I'm just wondering if you guys are able to kind of shed any light on that.
Hi, good afternoon. Yes, you're not our first VR question in this. So we've been working closely with the actuaries, the coders, data people, and right now everything is checking out to be in good shape. So therefore, what information you have that you had that major reduction is the correct information as we know it at this time. We've worked with everyone. And next month we are having, we will have a release. For those of you who were receiving the duplicate payments for those 950 claims, that should eliminate that. But as far as the checks and balances, we've reviewed everything with all the people at the table, and everything looks in order. I also just posted the factors for the trust fund calculation. So it's gender, age, the end of SGA, and the SGA, and the amount the beneficiary was receiving on that last month of SGA.
Okay.
And we'll take a follow-up from David Leon.
Hi, I'm sorry, I'm just really struggling to understand the change with the ticket. But to be clear, if we are going for cost reimbursement, that ends at 65. But if we choose to take the ticket, we can get payments until that person hits full retirement age, correct?
Hi, this is Regina. We've just become aware of the change. So as far as the eligibility has changed, full retirement age, you know how it's now on a graduated scale? So
yes.
Your question about it, the eligibility for ticket, yes, that is applicable. We have to do some research about the VR program. We're assuming that it would be, the eligibility would be actually the same for both programs. But let us get back to you. We will answer the question. What is, who's again on the line asking the question?
Yeah.
David, let us get back to you on that, okay? And we will send something out clarifying all of this.
Okay, thanks. It's just we're getting ready to start doing more with our EN VR side, and if the only way for us to receive payment for those cases is through ticket, we will want to convert them all to ticket cases.
Right, I understand. It's under our understanding that you will be able to, if the age limit applies to both, period. But we still, let me confirm it, and then we'll get back to you, David, okay?
Okay, thank you.
Just went out, and to be honest with you, we haven't had a chance to research it and get all the details, okay? So rather than give you some information that's not complete, we'd rather just research this and get back to you with an official policy that we'll share with everyone, okay?
Thanks.
All right, thanks.
As a reminder, everyone, that is star one. We'll go back to Eugenia Cox.
Yeah, thank you for the clarification further with David. But what I did hear you say to Jay Morrow was don't submit any claims that are over 65. So now I'm hearing until we hear back from you on what's going on, don't submit any claims that are over 65. Is that correct?
Gina, all that we were saying is that our system will not take anything because the system is based on the old rules. So what we want to do is really find out when the change will be made and how we will address the change. So
okay.
That's all that we're
okay.
saying. So, again,
okay.
We'll clarify and we'll get back to everyone. But the system resources, that has not been changed. So if you send them, you know, it's not going to work anyway. But we will get back to you on this, okay?
Yeah, and like I said, it is a few people. It isn't like it's just a tiny number of people because we do serve people that are older than 65. So it may not be significant to an employment network necessarily as it is more significant for a VR agency. And then my other question was on the 900s cases versus the 950. I know what the difference is between the two, but my question is when we get a 900 statement, and on the back it's showing the deduction for the savings to the trust, where that should have been coded as a 950. I'm not saying all of them are that way, but periodically we'll get a statement that should have been coded as a 950, but it was coded as a 900. So now what I'm hearing is that anytime we see a statement that says 900 on it as paid, but there's a reduction to the savings to the trust on the back, we have to let you know each time so that you can fix it and send us a new statement?
Absolutely, Eugenia. We explained that on the last call. That's why we were trying to explain to you to send us any information that you may need about your notices. And that was one of the things we covered. To actually do those 950s is a manual action that we have to do. So having to do with human error or actually system is also involved. Sometimes the 950 does not produce. therefore, you get a 900 notice information. A portion of it has 900 notice information. However, the calculations still show the reduction factor. Those you would have to send in to us, and then once you send it in to me, you would get the specific language that says your claim has been reduced due to savings to the trust fund and all the language that you need to go with the other portion of the claim.
Yeah, and the reason it matters to us is because if somebody comes to us and say, how come you claimed $1 million but you got paid $300,000? And we look at our denials to see, and it's showing, we know that all the claims that are 950s were reduced for the savings to the trust, and that's explainable for us. But these other claims that were denied as 900, or weren't denied but paid as 900s that did have a savings to the trust, we can't explain those. So we need those to be correct, and I will personally send you. Can we just fax you the actual statement and say on it this should be a 950?
You can email those notices, and then we'll just correct them. Or you can email, if you want, the case number and the date that it was paid, and then we will go in and work with our notice people to get the information changed.
And then we'll just get a new statement in the mail. I'm just trying to make it as easy as possible for those ones that need to be corrected.
Yes, you'll get a new notice, and it'll have the exact language that matches. The numbers will match the words.
Okay. All right, thank you.
And we'll go to Jay Morrow.
Hi. You'd mentioned that the savings to the trust formula is available somewhere. Is that something that I could get? I'd like to be able to provide people an estimate of, when a case is going to be, if it's possible that there's going to be a significant reduction based on the savings to the trust. If that information is available, I might be able to add that in so people aren't surprised by it when they get a big reduction.
Hi, Jay. I wrote down what are the factors for our calculation. So if you were looking at the chat, the factors are there, and I believe I said age, gender, the SGA amount, and the last amount that the beneficiary was receiving at that last month of SGA.
And do we get the actual formula, though, or just the factors that go into it?
That's
wondering if the formula itself is available.
That's how the factors are calculated.
I'm looking for it in the chat window, and I'm not seeing it there.
Jay, we can't give you the actual formula. That's why I'm giving you the factors.
Oh, okay. I got you. So we can't get the actual formula, just the factors.
Chat.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
And as a final reminder, everyone, that is star one to ask a question. And there are no other questions at this time.
Thank you, everyone. If there are no more questions, we will end this call today. And remember, if you have additional questions, you can contact the VR Help Desk. And our next call will be on October the 16th. Thank you. Bye, everyone.
Ladies and gentlemen, that does conclude today's presentation. We do thank everyone for your participation, and you may now disconnect.